It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. I'm Keith Manley, and we're going to have a great week this week as we're talking on the subject of breaking through depression, breaking through the spiritual strongholds that get in our minds and take us captive. The Apostle Paul, he understood the battlefield of the mind perhaps better than any other biblical writer. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he uses military language to describe the spiritual dimensions for mental health. This is what he said. He said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." See, friend, Paul understood that some of our mental health battles aren't just psychological, they're spiritual. Now, I'm not denying here mental illness, and I'm not denying here clinical depression and things that really need help with a psychologist, but I'm telling you, many times, it's a spiritual battle. The enemy of our souls wants to establish strongholds in our thinking, patterns of thought that contradict God's truth, and they undermine our faith and our mental health. These strongholds might include persistent thoughts of worthlessness or hopelessness. Yesterday we spoke about Job and how Job cursed the day he was born and he felt worthless. I'm talking about obsessive worry that we can have about the future, where Satan tries to get you so afraid of the future that you miss out on the present. I'm talking about negative assumptions about others' motives, where you constantly are suspicious of people to where you're always think they're talking about you. How about distorted beliefs about God's character or God's intentions in your life? See, Paul's revolutionary insight in that we don't have to be passive victims of our thought life, he says we can take captive of those thoughts. We can actively engage in the battle for our minds using weapons that have divine power to, what the Bible says, demolish strongholds, to tear down those mental strongholds. Modern psychology has identified several thinking patterns that are common in depression, and they align remarkably with what Paul describes as arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. The first one is all or nothing thinking. This involves seeing things in black and white categories with no middle ground. I'm a complete failure instead of I've made a mistake. See, depression tells us that if we're not perfect, we're worthless. And that's a lie that contradicts the grace of God and the process of sanctification, of dying daily to our flesh and allowing God to do a work in our life. Mental filter. This involves focusing on a single negative detail and dwelling on it exclusively so that the whole situation becomes darkened. One criticism overshadows 10 compliments. I can tell you this as a pastor. I can have 10 people compliment a sermon and one person criticizes it, and guess what my mind is going to go to? But see, in Philippians 4, Paul tells us to think about things that are praiseworthy and excellent. How about catastrophizing something? This involves expecting disaster and asking what-if questions that spiral into worst-case scenarios, and that contradicts Jesus' teaching not to worry about tomorrow, because he said every day has enough trouble of its own, and we don't have to worry about tomorrow. See, Paul had a struggle himself. Paul wasn't writing about these thought patterns from a theoretical perspective. He had his own mental and spiritual battles that he fought, because in Romans 7, he gets very intimate as he describes his own internal struggle. He said this in verse 15, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Now that sounds remarkably like internal experience of depression, doesn't it? Feeling trapped by patterns of thinking and behavior that we don't want, but we can't seem to escape them. See, Paul felt wretched and he wondered who could rescue him from this internal struggle. He was getting very real with us, friend. Paul also dealt with what he called a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, some kind of ongoing struggle that he prayed 3 times a day for God to remove it. While we don't know exactly what this thorn was, many scholars believe it was a physical ailment or a mental, emotional struggle that persistently troubled him. I personally believe it was a person that was attacking Paul in his ministry and was following him around. I truly do believe it because there was a woman who kept going by saying, "These men are servants with the Most High God. They're servants of the Most High God." And Paul rebuked her. But see, what did God say? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes the goal isn't the complete elimination of our struggles, but it's learning to experience God's strength in the middle of them. Oh, then he talks about the weapons of our warfare. I love this. Paul says we have weapons with divine power to demolish strongholds. What are these weapons? Oh, they're so important in the battle against depression, friend. The very first one he listed was the Word of God. He said, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? He responded to each temptation with Scripture. He said, "Satan, it is written." See, the Word of God has unique power to cut through the deception and establish truth in our minds. Sometimes when a person is in for counseling, I write them a prescription. You said, "You're not allowed to write prescriptions. You're not a doctor." Oh, I do. I write down a scripture that comes to my mind that will combat the very negative thinking that Satan is putting in their mind. See, when depression says you're worthless, God's word says in Psalm 139, verse 14, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." When depression says nothing will ever change, the scripture says in Philippians 1, 6, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." When depression says God has abandoned you, listen, scripture says, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you," in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The second weapon we have is prayer. The Bible says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." That was Paul to the Philippian church in Philippians 4 and verse 6. See, prayer isn't just asking God for things. It's engaging our minds with a divine perspective to think like God thinks. And when we pray about our anxious thoughts, instead of thinking about them, something shifts. We move from trying to solve problems with our limited perspective to inviting God's unlimited wisdom into the situation. Thirdly is community and accountability. That's a weapon. See, in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." I am so thankful for the friends and church family that God has put in my life, friend. Sometimes we can't see our own distorted thinking patterns, and we need trusted friends to help us identify lies that we've begun to believe ourselves. Paul understood the power of community, and he can constantly ask for prayer. He shared his struggles, and he relied on the encouragement of fellow believers like Timothy, Titus, and so many others who came to his side. Isolation will feed depression. The devil wants you isolated so he can pick you off, but having healthy community helps us to gain perspective on our own thought patterns, friend. And then renewing the mind. Paul tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world," in Romans 12, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Man, I wish I could renew my body like I can renew my mind. You see, mind renewal isn't a one-time event. It's an ongoing process of replacing old thought patterns with new ones that align with God's truth. And this involves both the tearing down of old strongholds and then building new, healthy thought patterns with Scripture. It's not enough to just stop thinking negatively. We need to actively cultivate some positive thought patterns by memorizing Scripture, getting God's Word into our hearts. Well, let's talk just for a few minutes today before we close on the process of how to take thoughts captive. Number one, recognize the enemy. The first step in learning to identify thoughts that are setting themselves up against the knowledge of God is learning to distinguish and align and recognize when the devil is speaking as opposed to when God is speaking. Some common red flags for unhealthy thoughts are this. Language like always, never, everyone, no one, those kind of thoughts, friend, they're usually from the enemy. Hopeless predictions about the future, it's from the enemy. Thoughts that contradict clear biblical truths about God's character, it's from the devil. Harsh self-criticism that you would never say to a friend, it's from the enemy, and you got to take those thoughts captive. And then he says, capture the thought. This involves stopping the thought pattern before it spirals. There have literally been times when I put both my hands on my head and I have to visualize I'm taking that thought captive. Paul used that imagery of taking something captive, actively seizing control rather than passively just letting thoughts run wild. Literally saying stop when you notice destructive thinking. Say it out loud. Writing down the thoughts to examine it objectively, asking yourself, is this thought true? Is it helpful? Is it honoring to God? Challenging the thought with questions like, what evidence do I have for this? Or what would I tell a friend who had this thought? Begin taking those thoughts captive. And then evaluate the thought against the truth. Once you've captured the thought, evaluate it against the knowledge of God. What you know to be true about God's character, His promises, and His perspective on the situation. Ask questions like, does this thought align with what God says about me in His Word? Is this thought based on truth or is it on fear? And what would God's perspective be on this situation? And then, friend, you replace it with truth. Simply trying to stop thinking negative thoughts rarely works. You need to replace them with positive ones. And this is where Paul's instruction becomes crucial in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, he said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul isn't advocating here for positive thinking as a cure-all, but he's recognizing that what we choose to focus on shapes our emotional and our spiritual health. This week on Fresh Oil, we're talking about breaking free from depression. I'm teaching from my book by the same title, and it's available on Amazon.com. I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. Friend, if you're struggling with depression today, call out to God. Begin replacing those negative thoughts that have held you captive with some positive truths found in the Word of God. Friend, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. Walk in grace and be free.
If you enjoy the ministry of Fresh Oil, we invite you to check out Keith's books, which are available on Amazon.com. Keith has a memoir entitled, This Is My Story. In this book, he shares personal stories of divine encounters, answered prayers, as well as the battles he has faced as a pastor. Keith's book, Christ in the Seven Feasts of Israel, shares a picture of Jesus the Messiah, found in the ancient feast days God gave to Israel to celebrate. His book, The Grace Revolution, which Keith recently taught on Fresh Oil, is also available in paperback, hardcover, and the Kindle ebook. For more information, go to Amazon.com and search Keith Manley Books.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.